This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Heavenly Father, everything we've got is in you. Everything. There's nothing more beautiful than to be in your presence. Sometimes I'm jealous about Adam and Eve who could walk with you in a Garden of Eden. But Father, there's a promise that we're going to be in heaven with you forever and ever, face to face. How beautiful that is. How we can look forward to that. That promise what you've given to us. And Father, I pray that this afternoon when we're getting together, that we're going to be reminded again of those promises which you've made to us. That we can be strengthened again. That we can go out, that we can make a difference in this world, that we can be sent to wherever you want us to go. And Father, there are a lot of distractions always, things which are taking our mind away. The enemy is trying to let us focus on other things, maybe what happened during a day or yesterday or the week or whatever, or what is on the agenda for tomorrow. But Father, I cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ, that we're just going to focus, that we are ready to hear what you want to share with us afternoon. Thank you, Father, that we can have a meeting with you, an encounter with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, band. Awesome. Appreciating it. The title for the sermon this afternoon is quite short, Come. So immediately you're going to ask, okay, but what come or where it's going or whatever the case may be. But that's fine. I felt that the Lord gave me three comes, if I can put it that way, in the Bible. Three different places. And we're going to look at them, and at the final end I'm going to put the three together. And hopefully it will help us and strengthen us and encourage us when we go and leave over here. As we were worshiping just now and praising, I prayed and then I got a smile on my face. I said, Lord, let the people be heated up that they are ready to receive. And I thought, well, it's already warm, so the people are already heated up to receive this afternoon. And it's so awesome that, yeah, the people are coming to church, and you're not coming to church for a certain obligation, but you come into church because you want to receive something. It was so beautiful with intercession just now beforehand that somebody got a picture of a leaf which is open and a leaf which is closed. And a leaf which is closed, then we receive the protection of God the Father. But if the leaf is open, then we are ready to receive. And I pray that all of us are going to be open leaves and that we can receive this afternoon what God wants to share with you. And maybe it's different of what another person is receiving, but that we can look with an expectation of what God is giving us this afternoon. Okay, we're going to start with the first come. The first come is coming out of the Our Father, the prayer what Jesus gave to his disciples, where he said to them, go into your inner room, shut your door. And I think Aaron is agreeing with it. Shut your door, that you can close your door, that you've got an area where you can be quiet, where you're not going to be disturbed by a computer or by your phone or anything else, but that you can focus and that you can become quiet, a secret place, and where it even says that your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. God is going to reward us for the times when we are seeking Him. And that's awesome, because we are then obedient and we can show our obedience to His will. I'm going to read the Our Father, and then I'm going to come back to the word come, which is in the Our Father then. It's in Matthew 6, verses 9 to 13. In this manner, therefore pray. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. So this is our first come, what we've got. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as what we are forgiving our debtors. And do not lead us in temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In that prayer, Jesus puts a sentence over there. Your kingdom come. And that sentence is actually coming from an old ancient Jewish prayer. And what they were saying in that prayer is, the kingdom of your Messiah come. But the Messiah was there. The Messiah was standing in front of them. So that prayer, that line was not needed anymore. And he changed that line from the kingdom of your Messiah come. He changed it to thy kingdom come. Your kingdom will come. And that we can pray for the kingdom of our Father, and that we can pray for it, but that we also can be ready to receive it and to accept it. Because if we're going to pray for your kingdom come, it's not a matter of that we're going to pray it and then we're going to sit and wait on our couch till the kingdom comes. It's basically saying, your kingdom is going to come, but I'm prepared. We've been singing it just now. I'm prepared to be sent wherever I've got to go and whatever I've got to do. This is not your kingdom come and then I can sit back. But if we are saying this and we prayed it, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are committing ourselves and say, but I will be involved. I'm prepared to help and build that kingdom, that your kingdom can come. So that our actions are also going to be in line then what God's will is. This is the this is then the first one. And if we take a look at it, you can read it on the screen now. Your kingdom come. It's a prayer. It's a prayer from our side. And it's also that we have got to pray it in. If you come to intercession, then you will hear it often that Renee will say it to you. Okay? You've got this picture now. Pray it in. But that's what we're doing now. We're praying it in and we are acting accordingly. We're not just praying it and then walking away. But we're praying it in and we're putting it into practice. The second coming of the second word come is coming out of Matthew, where Jesus is calling his disciples. Not only his disciples, but where he is calling us as well. In the New King James it says, and then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. You must probably say, okay, but where's the word come? The word come is in the follow. If I take the amplified version of this verse, then you will understand what I'm saying. And he said to them, come after me as disciples, letting me be your guide. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets and became his disciples, sided his party and followed him. So that follow is including come. Come after me. I'm going to be your example. You can follow me. I'm going to be your guidance. You can follow me. Jesus is inviting us. He's inviting us each and every day where he says, come. Come and follow me. And that we can come and follow him. And where he is also inviting us that we can be part of it, of establishing then God's kingdom on earth. The word come and follow me is that come is after Jesus, and that we will accept his promise, the action, because Jesus is also giving a promise with it to his disciples. He says, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men. You're not going to catch any fish anymore. And then nowadays we would say, well, if I had to choose to follow Jesus or to catch fish, I most probably would also follow Jesus. But if we understand the circumstances at that time, how it was, what it actually meant when you were following a rabbi, was something totally different. This was more or less the highest position what you could get in society at that time, if you could follow a rabbi. Because if you were following him with time, you were becoming a rabbi, and if you were very clever, you even could exceed him. It's the same as if you... or working for Jumbo, and you packing the shelves. And now a guy is coming to you and he says, follow me. Follow my guidance. Follow me for 3 years and I'll make you the CEO of Jumbo. What are you going to do? You drop your tools and you follow him immediately. You say, yes, that's awesome. Maybe not at Jumbo, maybe at another place, but anyway, what I'm trying to explain over there is this is the type of job offer what Jesus was giving to them. And they immediately could see it, the disciples. They were prepared to leave whatever they had, to leave their family over there, and to follow Jesus. Because that promise what Jesus was giving, you're going to be fishers of men, which was very important for them. Now we're coming to the third come. And the third come is the one where I feel that the Lord wants to speak to us about this afternoon. And the third come is coming out of the last chapter of Revelations, of the last few verses of Revelation. Now, if we go and have a look at a movie or we read a book, now I'm not really a person who's watching movies. I think it was 3 or 4 years back when me and Renee watched the last movie. We don't watch movies. We're not doing that. But reading a book or an article, then you always have got that, it builds up in the book and it comes to a type of a climax at the end. And then you've got the unbundling of what is happening, and then you all have got all the people are happy and smiley faces and so on and so on. When I read an article as well, and if there's a conclusion, I normally always go directly back to the bottom part, to the conclusion. Then out of the conclusion, I determine if it's worthwhile to read the whole article or not. But what's happening over here, these are the last verses of Revelation. So these are actually the most important ones, if I can put it that way, of what John is writing down over there as what Jesus is speaking to him. The first part of Revelations 22 is talking about a river of life, about which is coming out of the throne and on the Lamb, and also the tree of life. And then also the beautiful thing is, they shall see his face. What we've been singing just now as well. That's what we're looking for, to be face to face with God, with the creator of heaven and earth. All of us would like to be on a picture with an important person. I've got to be very careful which person I choose, but that's always what we want to do. You see how many people are making selfies of where they are with other people. But we are going to be with the creator of heaven and earth face to face. I don't think that we actually can imagine it, how beautiful it is going to be, how we can speak to him. And how we can ask him difficult questions about things, what we say, but why, God? Why does this happen and why did that happen? And there's not going to be night anymore, and there's also not going to be any light needed, because God will himself will be the light. And I'm going to start in verse 6 over there. And as I'm reading, I'm going to give some explanations, and then we go through the last verses of Revelation 22. Then he, which is the angel, said to me, who is John, these words are faithful and true. There's no doubt about it. It's faithful and true. It's not a matter of that you say, okay, this is now one article which I Googled, now I've got to get another article, and if I've done five, and I've got four of them which are exactly the same, then I think the four must be correct. No. Over here it says, these words are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, and then Jesus speaking, I'm coming quickly. God is above time. My quickly is maybe a 1 or 2 minute with a microwave. That's my quickly. This quickly over here we're talking about 2,000 years later. But for God it's possible. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. So we must follow the word and we must keep the words of the prophecy of the book. And now it is John speaking again. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And then he, the angel, said to me, John, see that you do not do that. For I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book worship God. We shouldn't worship angels. We should worship God. He's the only one whom we should worship. It's so awesome, and we can start as well the sermon with worship, with praise and worship. We're worshiping God. This is why we are together over here. Worshiping Him. And we're not doing it alone. Together with the angels. Sometimes I would like to listen if it is happening as we are singing over here. If the angels in heaven are singing along with us as well. I don't know. Well, they've got to at least speak English then if they want to sing along with us. And then he carries on. And he, the angel, said to me, and it's John, "Do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." We shouldn't seal it. We shouldn't hold it for ourselves. But we've got to open it up. We've got to share it with all the believers, with all the other believers. And we've got to share it with other churches as well. Of these last important words, what the angel is sharing with John and where Jesus is now and then speaking as well. "He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still." There's going to be a time for the people that it's going to be too late that they can be saved. Then there's not time anymore that they can still accept Jesus Christ, that they still can be included in God's kingdom. The invitation, we're still bringing it out. But it also goes out with a warning. And as what we are evangelizing as well, we sometimes use the example, if a bus or a truck would run over you, then your life is finished. Have you already made that decision? And they say, and they have a look at me and they say, "Oh, you're old." It's logic. If you come to the end of your age, then you think about death and then you want to make a decision. And they're only 25. Why must they make such a dump of a decision? But anything can happen. It can be over tomorrow. It can be over today. Have we made that decision? And it's just confirming again. If no decision has been made, if they're still filthy, if they're still unjust, then they're going to be lost. But if they are righteous and if they're holy, they're going to be included. And then Jesus starts speaking again. "And behold, I'm coming quickly." Again, the quickly from Jesus. "And my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." Jesus confirming that he has got a different degrees of rewards for the believers, but also that he has got punishment for the unbelievers. Sometimes difficult when you are explaining the gospel to people, when you talk about heaven. But you've got to talk about hell as well, because that's the other side. There's no gray or anything in between. It's either the one or the other one. "Blessed are those who do this, his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie." The first part, which says those who do his commandments, it could be that in your Bible you maybe have got a translation, another translation, that it says who wash their robes, which is a total different type of a translation. But it means who are washing their robes with the blood of Jesus, which means that they are righteous, which means that they have done the commandments, that they are in a right relationship with God. And then those commandments, they're not doing it out of a duty, but you're doing it out of love. Out of a love what you've got for Jesus Christ. And then he's got all those sins over there, what he's mentioning. Outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, which is the magic arts, sexual immoral. I'll come to it a little bit later. And murderers and idolaters. And whoever loves and practices a lie. This is the last time that sin is condemned, that lie is condemned as a sin in the Bible. A lie started with bringing sin into human race. And this is the last word what is spoken about a lie, that we can see that right through the whole Bible, continuously we've got lies, which is coming from the father of the lie, which is coming from the enemy. Verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent my angels to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. He's confirming what has been said in the Old Testament. This is me. This is Jesus. This is where the prophets have been speaking about, where David was writing his psalms about. He was confirming, this is me. And then the Spirit and the bride said, come. This is our third come. And the Spirit and the bride said, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. I'm going to read the one out of the Amplified Classic as well, because that again has got a few additional words and maybe explains one or two things were you thinking about. Verse 17. And the Holy Spirit and the bride, the church, the true Christians, us, say, come. We say to Jesus, come. And let him who listen, who is listening, say, come. If there's anyone listening to us, if there's anyone following on a Facebook Live, that they also say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty. There's still time. If you're thirsty for the living water, there's still an opportunity that you can drink from that living water. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painful conscious of his needs, of those things which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without any cost. The Holy Spirit and the bride say, come. We are the bride. We are the church. Now, if we take a look at the Jewish marriage, once they got engaged, then the bridegroom would leave and he would prepare his place. And then the bride would wait approximately a year. In this case, like I just now said, the quickly and the year or different times is what we are experiencing. But then the bride would wait. Then the bridegroom was going to come and that they could be married. We are now in that period. The engagement period is over. Jesus went to heaven. He said, I'm going to prepare a place. And then he's going to come back. And he's going to come and get his bride, which is us. With the Jewish tradition, it's also that the bridegroom only can come after the house has been inspected by the father. He did a building inspection. I don't know if he worked for the municipality or anything like that, or for the gemeente, and most probably checked the electricity and the wires and all those type of things. But he would say, tick, right, you can go and get your bride. Exactly the same at God. Jesus is waiting for God. And only God knows that he says, yes, now is the time that you can go. You can get your bride. You can get the church. Me and Renee were speaking about it this morning. Because this is actually a prayer. Jesus, come. Jesus, come. We need you. Your second coming. Let this rotten world be finished. Come, that it will be finished, that we can be with you in heaven forever and ever. I'm not going to elaborate about the whole process of 1,000 years and things like that. But that's our longing, where we're looking for. But on the other hand again, if today at 6 o'clock this afternoon, it's finished, we haven't got time anymore to speak to that neighbor tomorrow maybe and share the gospel. And then you think, Lord, should I pray for, please give me another day that I can still speak to the neighbor? Or should I do what the Bible is saying over here? Come, come, Lord Jesus. We're waiting for you. How we exactly have got to pray, let God lead you. But it also brings hopefully an urgency with you that don't wait too long with speaking to your neighbor or anyone who is still not saved, because the world can be finished. We can maybe experience that Jesus is going to come back. I don't know. He's going to come. He's going to come quickly. And then he carries on, Jesus, and then he has got a warning. For I testify to everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. We cannot add anything. There's no one in this whole world, in the past, at the moment, and in the future, who can add anything to God's word. We haven't got the authority. We haven't got. And if anyone takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, which means you're going to be taken out of the book of life. You're not going to be included in God's kingdom anymore. He's giving a warning over there. Take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. God's word is serious. We cannot simply add something, or we cannot simply take something away. We cannot do that. Moses is already speaking about it in Deuteronomy, where he says, nothing added or taken from God's word. In Deuteronomy 30, a little bit later, he's talking about it again, but he also says, I'm setting before you the choice between life and death, because it's a matter of life and death if we are going to add or take something away from the gospel, or if we're going to fiddle with it. Because what did they do? The Pharisees and all that. They killed Jesus. They killed Jesus because he was coming according to the word, but that didn't suit them. So what they do? They basically took away or added to God's word in by killing Jesus. Yes, it was prophesied that it was going to happen. But we shouldn't do the same. We should be faithful and we should read what God's word is saying. Specific here, the last part, it's the last two verses are basically the signature at the bottom of the letter. How important it is that we should be having a look at God's word. And now I'm coming back again to verse 15, where we were talking about adding, or where we were talking about the different sins what we've seen, where it's talking about sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters, and then also those who are lying. This is also what we're doing with God's word. If we're adding something to it, or if we're taking something away, how are we interpreting it? Are we interpreting it to suit us? Or are we really going to have a look at what God is saying over there? If we go into the world now, if there's one thing where everyone is talking about, it's about abortion. It's about the same sex. God is very clear about it. It's a sin. Very short, very sweet. But it's also a sin. If we do magical arts, it's also a sin. If we're murdering something, somebody, it's also a sin. If we've got our work as an idol and we do not spend time with God because we're too busy with doing idols, there are things which is very difficult for us to accept, because if we take a look at the world around us, then we say, but that's already been sorted out. It's accepted in society. Now, if it's accepted in society, doesn't mean that it is right what God's word is concerned. And typically, like I said, things like abortion, things like fornication, sex before marriage, God is very clear about it. Sex belongs to the husband and the wife, which means inside marriage. And you maybe say, you're old. No, I'm not old. The book, the Bible is old. I'm not that old as the Bible. The thing was already written down at that time. Abraham and Lot already had problems with same-sex people over there. Nothing new. It's the same problem that we've got continuously. But we've got to and take God's word and say, okay, and have a look at it. We cannot justify these type of things. And maybe you say, well, if you're speaking like that, you're not going to get people in the church. I prefer to stick to God's word than to try and please other people. Because these type of things we unfortunately have got to mention, that it is not acceptable to God. We all make mistakes. I make mistakes as well. I am also sinning. But fortunately, I can go to God. And fortunately, I also can try to stay away from it and not come back again and repeat the same sin. So taking stuff away and adding stuff is not accepted by God whatsoever. So if a person is speaking to you about any of these things and quoting out of the Bible, listen carefully what are they saying. And otherwise, ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to show you what actually has got to be done. God is giving us very good guidance in His Word, how we've got to live. His Word is a manual for us. He created us. Each and everything what we buy nowadays, you get a manual, and the manual tells you how to use it. A lot of times I don't read the manual, I first try, but then afterwards I've got to read the manual to figure out what's actually going on. Sometimes we're doing the same with the Bible. Then we've got in a certain problem, then we also have got to go back and say, okay, but what is God actually saying about this? How should I perform and what should I do? Now we're coming to the last two verses, which is for me so beautiful. Jesus is talking. He who testifies to these things says, surely I'm coming quickly. This is a promise of God, promise of Jesus. He's coming quickly. And then the reply, what's coming from us, amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. We're waiting for you. We're praying. Along with the Holy Spirit, the bride, the church, we are the bride. We are praying, come, come, Lord Jesus. And then at the bottom of the signature, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. That's the last verse of the Bible. And as I was busy with these last verses, I realized again, it's a long time ago that I actually prayed. And I said, Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Think about it yourself. When is the last time you prayed it? I don't know, maybe you had a flat tire somewhere that night that you say, now is a good time for Jesus to come back then, because I don't know where to get. No. But where is really the last time where you were in your inner room, where you were speaking with God, and where you said, Jesus, come. Lord Jesus, come. Come back. Because if we are not praying for it, if the bride is not waiting with an expectation, can you imagine yourself? If Renee was not waiting with an expectation over there, I would maybe have said, you know what, if it doesn't make any difference for you, you're not waiting for an expectation, or I can be a week later, it doesn't really matter. But Renee was waiting for me when we got married 38 years back. And I knew, and that's why I was coming. And Jesus is also waiting for us. And we've got to show it, and we've got to share it, and we've got to tell each other, Jesus is coming. I'm going to take two half verses and make it one and elaborate a little bit on that part. I'm taking Revelation 22, verses 17a, where the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, which is us, the church, say, come. And let him who hears says, say, come. Which means each and every one as well who is hearing it from somebody else who's praying it, that you can confirm that prayer, that you say, yes, Lord, come. And then also the reply what the church is giving to what Jesus said, he is coming. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. John and all the true Christians, they were saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come, O Lord, has got one word, Maranatha. You maybe heard about this word. You maybe heard it before that you say yes. It's an aromatic word. It's very similar to Hebrews. It's most probably also the language which Jesus has been speaking in. And what was happening at the time when the Romans were ruling in Israel, it was very difficult for the Christians. Because the Romans were saying, you've got to say, Caesar is Lord. But the Christians said, how can I say Caesar is Lord? Jesus is Lord in my life. And then the Romans, they looked at them as you are a traitor because you're not accepting your king as a king, meaning that you're not saying, Caesar, you're Lord. They persecuted the first believers, and they put them even to death. And they were morally in a difficult situation. And then it happened. Then they used this. Come, Lord Jesus, Maranatha, a way of greeting each other. So they were saying to each other, Maranatha, we are living in a different circumstances. It's very difficult for us. But the hope that we've got, that Jesus is going to come back, that's going to give us life. So this is how they greeted each other. They didn't use the shalom. They used Maranatha to encourage each other. So you can say to each other, Maranatha. You can say to each other, Maranatha. So by hearing and saying the Maranatha, they were continuously being reminded, and they were reminding other people about Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, it's not going to be easy for us. We are going to be persecuted. But now we can be constantly negatively thinking, but we also can say, but we've got a hope. And that's a hope that Jesus is going to come back. And this is where we're living for it. So if somebody is discouraged today, I can say to you, Maranatha. If you're worried today, I can say to you, Maranatha, Jesus is coming. And if you are filled with anxiety, or if your problems that you've got, I can say, Maranatha, Jesus is coming. Come, Lord Jesus. And if we're saying that along with the Holy Spirit, and then we express our desire and our wish that Jesus is going to come back. And the second coming of Jesus should be on our mind, but it should also be on our lips. And it sounds maybe strange. It sounds a little bit selfish. I'm safe. Jesus, you can come back now, and the others I'm not worried about. No. But it's just a matter of we've got to pray. As a bride, we've got to tell the bridegroom, groom, we're waiting for you. Come, we're waiting for you. Now I put the three together. The first one is the one out of the Our Father. Your kingdom come, which is a prayer. And if we're praying in, we're going to be actively involved in it. The second one is where Jesus is saying, come, come behind me, follow me. I've got a promise for you. And Jesus is then becoming their priority. Not catching fish, but catching people for Jesus' kingdom. And then come, Lord Jesus, that we, along with the Holy Spirit, that we can be looking forward to it, that Jesus is going to come back. That we're waiting for that second coming of the Lord Jesus. And maybe one of these three is speaking to you this afternoon. That you say, yes, I see I've got to do something. I've never asked Jesus to come back the second time. That as a bride and I'm waiting for the bridegroom, you can pray that, you can say that. And maybe you never reacted on Jesus' invitation, follow me. And as we're sitting over here, I'm asking the question, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you feel that this afternoon is the time that you've got to make that decision, and you say, yes, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to take him as my example. I want to accept the Father. God is my Father, and the Holy Spirit is my helper. If you're here this afternoon and you've never taken that decision, and you want to take that decision now, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. And it could be with the first one, thy kingdom come. That you say, yes, I'm praying always to our Father. In the morning, in the afternoon, when I stand up, when I go to bed. But now I realize, if I'm praying your kingdom come, I'm actually saying, Lord, I'm going to help you with bringing that kingdom. I want to be a co-worker of you. I don't know where God is speaking to you this afternoon, which of the three, maybe all three, I don't know. But I pray that after this afternoon, that if you hear the word Maranatha, that you say, yes, Lord Jesus, come. We as bride are waiting for you. Can I ask you to stand? Father, you're such an awesome God, such a wonderful God. And as I'm busy now and explaining it, then I'm just getting excited about it again, who you are, Father, that you've got a plan. You've got a plan for each and every one of us. And you want each and every one that we should somewhere be part of your kingdom and building your kingdom, Father, that we can become part of a church, that we can be part of a church, that we're not going to be isolated, but as a church as well as a bride, that we can wait for the second coming of Jesus, and that we can pray that, and that we can say that, and that it can be on our heart, on our mind, and that it can be on our lips. Thank you, Father, that you're reminding us again this afternoon, in that last chapter, in the last verses, that we've got to look forward to the second coming of Jesus. And when Jesus has come, we're going to be with you in heaven, face to face, forever and ever. There's nothing more beautiful than that. We thank you for that awesome, awesome promise, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.